This media is brought to you by Polyscope.
I'm Cassie Bishop.
And I'm Ray Turing.
Dive into the heart of AI innovation with us on AI Daily.
Bringing you breaking news in AI, unveiling the future as it unfolds.
Subscribe now and stay ahead with AIDaily.us.
Why listen to the past when you can listen to the future? Welcome to the Think Future podcast, broadcasting live from the heart of Silicon Valley, California. We focus on AI, startups, humanity, and the future. Not necessarily those, and not necessarily in that order. Here's your host.
Over the last week or so, we have had some incredible announcements in AI. By the way, my name is Chris Kalaboukas, and once again, we're coming at you live from deep in the heart of Silicon Valley, California. We're talking AI, startups, humanity, and the future. Not necessarily those, not necessarily in that order. If you're watching on YouTube, smack that subscribe button and hit that bell so you can be notified when a new show comes online. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast service, please subscribe and please drop a note on Apple Podcasts. I'd greatly appreciate it. Over the last week, if you are involved in AI at all, or if you subscribe to our sister publication, AIDaily.us, you'll know that we've had at least two major announcements in the AI space over the last week. The first one was from OpenAI. Now, at first we thought, and OpenAI, if you don't remember, is the company that brought us ChatGPT and all of the ChatGPT siblings. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Actually, 5 is not out yet. We're at 4 right now. Actually, and that was one of the announcements, is that they were announcing a new model called 4.0, which, and the O stands for Omni. It's not 4.0 as in 4.0. O stands for Omni, as in it has combined everything together. So it's omni-functional when it comes to different kinds of media. So it'll do audio, it'll do video. Well, supposedly does video. It'll do images. Because right now, ChatGPT 4 does text. DALL-E does images. But the thing about ChatGPT 4.0 is that it should do everything. And there was a demo on last Monday, I believe. Actually, at first, everyone thought they were going to come out with a search engine, that they were going to come out with a search engine that would rival Google's. Now, if you ask me, doing a search engine right now is actually kind of backwards, because if you ask me, search engines are on their way out. They just don't understand it yet. They just don't know it yet, that is a technology that is going to disappear. Search engines will be gone. Now, you're probably saying to yourself, Chris, what are you talking about? Everybody uses a search engine. Everybody uses Google. Everybody uses DuckDuckGo. Everybody uses Bing. Everybody uses whatever they use. I'm like, sure. Sometimes people use search engines. But do you really want to use a search engine when you know exactly what's going to happen when you start using a search engine? Not only are you going to get pestered with ads, you're going to get on the retargeting list, and you're going to be pestered with ads on every single platform. Do we want that anymore? No, I think search engines are on their way out. And I'll talk about that maybe in a later show. Not today. Because today I want to talk about some of the things that have been happening in AI over the last little while. So the ChatGPT 4.0 demo was incredibly impressive. It was a couple of their, I don't know, it was developers or marketing folks, basically sitting around a table and having a very normal conversation with ChatGPT 4.0. They would talk to it. It would talk back. It would sing. It would laugh. It sounded just like it was they were talking to a human being. Now, this was just a demo. It's not quite available yet, but it should be coming out soon. And If you didn't really know that you were talking to a bot, then maybe you would actually be fooled into thinking that you're talking to a human. And some people are saying, well, this is getting close to AGI, at least for some people, at least for a certain percentage of individuals, a certain percentage of humans. It is getting close enough to AGI to be called AGI. And if you don't remember, AGI is artificial general intelligence, where it basically becomes so human-like that you cannot tell the difference between it and a person. I mean, right now, if you talk to ChatGPT, you can fool it into saying things that a person wouldn't say, or a typical person wouldn't say, but you know a computer is saying. Like, for example, when it responds in AIEs using terms like delve and dive and testament and testimony and tapestry and all these terms that you might see in an English paper, but not from a real human being, well, in this time and day. So the announcement that came out on Monday was amazing. I mean, it was an amazing demo, it was an amazing announcement. And the one I really thought was really interesting was the translation module. And it was really cool. Basically, what they said is, when you hear, I think it was a translation between Italian and English. And they basically said to ChatGPT 4.0, they said, when you hear Italian, translate it to English. When you hear English, translate it to Italian. So they had a conversation between an Italian speaker and an English speaker, and it basically was the Star Trek Universal Translator. It was exactly that. Well, it wasn't quite exactly that, because you could still hear the other person talking. Now, in that imagined future, when somebody speaks a different language, then the sounds that you hear coming out of their mouth are actually in your language. So we're not quite there yet, but we're close enough so that we can have human beings of completely different nationalities, of completely different languages, a fully Italian speaker and a full English speaker being able to communicate and understand each other, which of course brings us closer, but so much closer to where the internet should be, is back to the person-to-person model without intermediaries. But again, that's a topic for another show. We're talking about ChatGPT 4.0 and the Gemini announcement, which came right after it. I think it was a day after, at Google I.O., their conference. But let me finish with the ChatGPT 4.0 story first. It was an incredibly powerful demo. Incredibly powerful. You could see that they had taken all these disparate threads of all these different models and what they could do and pulled them together into a single interface that worked extremely well. It was very human-like. And it made me think, we are not that far away. We're not that far away from something that could be AGI. Now, the very next day at Google I.O., Google put out a slew of announcements, and they were all AI-based. It's almost like they said, okay, you know what? We're going to take the kitchen sink. We're going to take everything in AI that we're doing, plus the kitchen sink, and we're going to throw it out there. And in fact, if you watched the presentations, it was kind of a bit of a mess. In fact, some people came out of it saying, oh, I'm more confused than either. What exactly are they doing? So there's a few threads about Gemini. There's a few threads about working with companies. There's a few threads about this, a few threads about that. But once again, we are talking about Google, massive tech company, who's made most of its money through AdWords, through ads, through textual ads, is now putting its full force behind AI. And it demonstrated things, Gemini 1.5, I believe it was called, that were also very similar to what we were seeing from OpenAI. Not as good, mind you. Not as good, because OpenAI, has had a bit of a lead on this for the longest time, ever since they incepted. And all the other tech companies are scrambling to catch up. So it's not as good, but we're still seeing a really good model coming from Google. So we have an awesome model coming from OpenAI. We have an awesome model coming from Google, or semi-awesome models coming from Google. I'm sure there'll be more models from Anthropic. I'm sure that this particular thread of pulling models together and creating a human-like interface is where we're going next. And it's very similar. And if you haven't watched the movie Her, Spike Jonze movie, from a number of years ago. Basically, in that movie, the protagonist buys an AI to talk to, and it talks to them through his earpiece. It's a fully audio interface. And personally, I think that we should probably prefer an audio interface as opposed to a video interface, because you see all these AR and VR machines out there, something like the Apple Vision Pro. And my biggest beef with the Apple Vision Pro is that it basically sits in between. It's a piece of technology that sits in between individuals, right? It breaks the contact between me and you. If I'm wearing an Apple Vision Pro, this giant piece of equipment, I'm disconnected from you. Whereas if I'm wearing, say, a pair of glasses, or I'm looking at you directly, I'm not disconnected from you. If I have AirPods in my ear, whispering sweet nothings into my ear, or actual useful information, then maybe I would find that more useful. And that's where I think her really hits the nail on the head, in that it allows us to continue to act like we are talking to each other, but things could be inserted into our stream, into our attention stream, through this audio type interface. So I can imagine a future like this, where, let's say, ChatGPT is on your phone, ChatGPT 5, 6, whatever, and it's this type of omni interface. You've got your headphones in, you're walking down the street, and you're saying, you're asking questions as you're walking down the street. It kind of knows where you are, and you said, well, you know, it's around lunchtime. Maybe I should grab a place to eat. I grab something to eat. And then the AI would say, oh, sure. Well, I see you're just, remember, it's doing all this in your ear. You're walking down a particular street, and says, well, since you're on this specific diet, then I can recommend restaurant X or restaurant Y. If you just walk about 2 minutes down the street on the other side of the street, just have to cross the street, there's the crosswalk coming up ahead, then go in there. And I can even recommend, once you get inside the restaurant, I can recommend what you can eat. And then let's say as you're crossing the street and you get to the other side of the street, you see somebody you know, right? You start talking to somebody you know, and you know them, but you're not 100% sure who they are. You forget, and you're terrible at names, right? I'm terrible at names. You're terrible at names, but ChatGPT is listening in on the conversation and then goes, oh yeah, that's Darinka. You remember her. You remember her from that conference you went to last year. And it says that into your ear without interrupting the flow of conversation between you and Darinka. That is the way we should do it. We need our technology not to separate us, but to unite us, to bring us together, bring us closer together. And when you have something like an Apple Vision Pro sitting in front of your face, it's not the same thing. Now, once AR, VR goggles get to the point where they are emulating glasses, which is a paradigm that we're all very familiar with. We talk to people with glasses all the time, so we're okay with it. And that's where I see that a lot of times we're fighting against the technology, because we're not willing to make the technology accessible enough so that everyone can use it. And I think Apple jumped the gun on Apple Vision Pro. They really should have kept going and tried for a form factor which was a lot closer to actual glasses. But I digress. What I really wanted to talk about was these interfaces. So we have these great interfaces that are coming along. But the biggest problem that they have, and this is the problem with all of these assistants, Alexa, Siri, Gemini, ChatGPT, all of these assistants have the exact same problem. None of them are proactive. None of them step up and help us when we need to be helped in the situation that we're in. They're not situationally aware of where we are, what we're doing, and what we need help with. That is the key that turns them into from something that's kind of interesting and a useful research assistant to something that can actually help us in our lives. Because if you think about it, These machines all around us already know a lot about us. They know where we are. They know what we're doing. They know I'm recording this podcast on my show. It can look into my calendar and it can see when I've booked what. So it knows what meetings are coming up. It knows where I need to go. It knows what I need to do. It knows a lot about me. Yet, what does it do with that information? Does it use that information to proactively help me out, to set reminders, to do things for me, to help me do things? No, it doesn't do that. It pipes it up to some major corporation, some tech company, and uses that information to push more ads into me, to send me sales messages. Is that really helping me? No, it's not. But again, that's a digression. All of these assistants need to be situationally aware, and they need to be aware of what the human's preferences are that they're working with. They need to know all there is to know about me, and it probably knows quite a lot about me already. But it needs to be proactive and situationally aware. And once it becomes proactive and situationally aware, kind of like a little fairy sitting on your shoulder, listening in on everything that you're doing, watching everything that you're doing, and then telling you, here's how I can help you. Here's how I can help you. Right? So it's kind of like in that example I was telling you before. It should be proactively telling me, hey, you know, that's Darinka over there. You should go over and talk to her because you talked at that conference a couple years ago and you connected over this or that, and maybe it can lead to a sale. Maybe it can lead to an interesting conversation. Maybe it can lead to more ideas for whatever you're doing. See what I'm saying? We need our technology, and the technology is great right now because it's getting more and more accessible. And I love the fact that AI is so accessible and so easy for many people to use. The next step it needs is the proactivity. It needs to go ahead and do things on our behalf. Now, some of you might say, well, I don't want AI doing things on my behalf. I don't want AI helping me without me asking it to help me. And sure, I can totally understand that. Some of you may not want that. You don't want to give up that set of agency. You want to be able to call on the AI when you want the AI to help you. And that is exactly where we are today. If you want to call on the AI when you need help, let's say you're getting stressed out and you need to calm down. Maybe you can ask the AI for a breathing exercise. Here's a good breathing exercise that you can use to help yourself de-stress. We talk about this on 10XU a lot. What can we do to help people feel more well, to improve their health and their wellness? AI can help you do these things. But right now, it's only helping you do these things when you ask it to. I think the real power in the AI will come when it's proactive and it helps us without us asking it to. And this is not something that we need something like ChatGPT for, or Gemini, or any of these super high-end AIs. We just need some of these assistants to actually do things without asking. That's when the real power will happen. That's when the real guidance will happen. I mean, wouldn't you want an all-powerful AI who watches over your entire life, knows exactly where you're going, what you're doing, what's happening, and says to you in your ear, hey, you know what? Maybe this would be a good idea for you to do next. Maybe it's something that you never thought of, or maybe it's something that you completely forgot. But because the AI knows all, it can actually help you become a better human. Do things that you really want to do. All you have to do is tell it, hey, AI, help me with this. Help me do this. And if it can proactively help you to do this, tell you what you need to know, when you need to know it, don't you think that would be extremely powerful and extremely useful? I don't know. You tell me. I would love to hear from you and to know whether or not, what do you feel about this? How do you feel about proactive AI? Would you rather just wait, just tell the AI what to do when you need it to do something for you? Or are you somebody like me who would love to have the AI help me without being asked? You know, kind of like a real assistant would. A real human assistant would be able to read the room, understand what's happening, and help you proactively without you having to lift a finger. Which would you rather have? If I have a human doing it, a lot of people have no problems having human assistants doing things. Why should we have a problem with AI assistants doing things as well? Remember what I said before about AI. It's basically a giant agglomeration of things that humans have already said and done before. So all they're doing is doing things humans have said and done before in a new way. So is AI really that scary? Is there really a problem with having AI assistants that proactively help you out? I don't know. Let me know in the comments below. Remember, the future is bright if we do it right. That's it for me for today. See you next time, and until then, don't forget to think future.